Hey, you guys, good morning. It is Gina Crash. I am super excited to welcome back our friends from the Maryland SPCA. First up, Tina Register, Director of Communications with the Maryland SPCA. It's good to have you back, Tina.
Hi, Gina. It's always wonderful to be here.
I'm so excited. And we got the Festival for the Animals coming up. And we are also joined by Katie Flory. She is the Director of Community Affairs for the Maryland SPCA. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Gina. Thanks so much for having us.
We're so excited that you're here. We see you all over the television and they hear you on the radio, and you're all over, you guys are so interactive and doing so many fun things. And I know the Festival for the Animals is coming up. You got so much to tell us about. Tina, I'm going to let you take that one out of the gate and let us know, you know, when and where and why it's so important and all that stuff we need to know.
Well, the Festival for the Animals, formerly the March for the Animals, is the Maryland SPCA's largest fundraiser of the year, and presented by M&T Bank and MediaStar Promotions. It raises the critical funds needed to care for the thousands of pets that come through our doors each year, and also allows us to provide educational programs to children and offer programs and services that help people and their pets. So it's not just pets that come into the shelter. We're out there helping pets that are in their homes.
And this is your 24th festival. That's amazing, right?
It is. It is amazing. And what it includes, it's a 1.3-mile walkathon, and also it's a fun activities for pets and people and also children. Children, we have a lot of activities planned for kids that I think Katie's going to share with you in a bit.
Yeah, and also it's the Maryland SPCA's 150th year of saving animals.
150 years.
That is incredible.
We started back in 1869.
Wow, and I heard that on a commercial on today's 101.9. I heard that we just wrapped up Maryland SPCA Day, and love working with you guys on that. And that's just really cool that you've been part of the community and helping homeless pets in our area for that long. That's fantastic. And none of us were around 150 years ago. It may feel like it's, but that's really a huge accomplishment. So tell us a little bit about where it's going to take place, Tina, because I think you're going back to a location you used to be at, right?
That's correct. It's going to take place on Saturday, April 6th. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it's going to be back at Druid Hill Park, where we had the festival for many, many years. They've done some construction around there, which is why we had to leave for a few years.
Oh, okay.
But we have actually a new location inside the park, and it's going to be really nice, and it's going to allow folks to walk through the scenic park, and we're really excited about it. And it's going to be lots of green space, so plenty of room for pets to run around and kids playing, and we also have free parking, and it's really convenient to get to, so we're really excited to be going back there.
How long, just for people that I know we've heard your names a lot, but maybe for people who don't know, how long each of you have been with the Maryland SPCA is kind of an interesting question.
So I've been here going on 7 years.
Oh my gosh.
Enjoyed every minute of it. I'm by in a flash.
The magic seven. How about you, Katie?
I've actually been at the shelter almost 14 years.
That's amazing.
Started in 2005, and it's really, truly the best place to work and the best job to have.
It is.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, I guess you're putting a smile on my face just now. I know that Tina mentioned the walkathon, but Katie, what other activities are planned for friends, family? And it sounds like a great day for everybody, all animal lovers.
It really is. We have a super fun day planned. First of all, having you there again to
our
opening ceremonies for the walkathon is really special for us. And we have so many things that people can do that day. We will have vendors. We will have food trucks. We will have a family fun zone. Tina mentioned earlier that we'll have a lot for all ages to do. We're going to have a stilt walker this year, a balloon maker. We will have crafts by Port Discovery and the Maryland SPCA, necklace making. Pretty much you name it, we will have it. And that's for the people. But we also have fun things for the dogs. We will have a look-alike contest. We will have musical sit, which is sort of a spin on our own musical sit, but it'll be for dogs. So it also helps people kind of teach their dog to sit or practice their skills again.
That's so cool.
So there'll be, so many fun things for people to do. Food trucks, you name it. It's fun for the whole family to come out and do. And as part of our 150th celebration, we're really encouraging people this year to come dressed up in their favorite decade attire.
Ooh.
And it could be any decade. The 20s, the 30s, the 40s, because we have been in our community for 150 years, we want to make sure that we are able to really celebrate what we've done in the community for that 150 years and ask people to have a little fun doing it.
I like that. And everybody loves the 80s and the 90s are
absolutely
making a comeback. If you saw Captain Marvel recently, that's a great idea, because I guess maybe a good thing would be like when you found out about the Maryland SPCA, like where were you? How old were you? Was it something your parents took you to? Did you adopt a pet? Like that is cool to think back, like what decade is the most significant for you regarding your relationship with the Maryland SPCA.
Mm-hmm. Or just wearing a fun costume that you haven't had anywhere to wear.
Exactly. That's so cool. And last year I had like the stomach bug or something, and I missed the celebration. So I'm excited to touch back on about like kicking the event off. I'm so excited. I look forward to it every year, and I know everyone that attends as well does too. So it's going to be awesome to be out there again. And how about adoptable pets? So some people they bring their pets to the event, of course, but there might be some that are thinking about adopting, you know, a cat or a dog, and that'll all be available on site as well, right?
Yes, it will. We will have animals from the Maryland SPCA and some of our local partners through our BAWA Alliance. So there'll be plenty of animals. And I did hear that we might also have some bunnies or a lizard or a snake up for adoption. So you can really kind of come and look for your new friend, no matter what type of animal it is.
They make good pets as well. What
they
a great
do.
Idea. The Alliance that you mentioned, what does mm-hmm. that stand for?
And
what
the BAWA stands for the Baltimore Animal Welfare Alliance, and it includes the Maryland SPCA, Barks, Baltimore County Humane Society, and the Baltimore Humane Society.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All friends that we've had on this
All
program
friends.
At one point or another.
Absolutely.
And you guys work together. I love when you pull your resources together to and work, because it's
we
all
do. Well, it really is that save by the village. We all have to work together. We know that we will not be able to save this problem on our own. So let's all work together and make a much bigger dent in our community with the help that people and animals need.
That's a huge impact. And Katie, also something I know you know a lot about too, why this fundraiser in particular, not only being the largest one for the Maryland SPCA, but what other reasons why it is so important to your organization.
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, I think there's a big misconception that a lot of people have that we are affiliated to the ASPCA or that we get funding from other outlets. And that's actually not true. We are our own organization that relies specifically on donations. We get no money from the ASPCA. We do not get money from the city or any federal government. And we rely on local support to be able to help the animals we do. Last year, because of events like the Festival for the Animals, our program was able to serve more than 16,000 pets and more than 18,000 people. It also allowed us to find homes for 3,000 animals and provide spay neuter surgeries for 6,000 pets. We also do a number of other things, whether it is training, whether it is providing supplemental food to, you know, almost 22 tons of food was provided to the community. And I think a really another interesting fact that I think it's important for people to know is that we have consistently received a 4 from Charity Navigator, which is actually the highest that you can get for a nonprofit. So we want people to know that the money that is donated to us, we are financially responsible with that money, and it's going to go to what people really want it to go to in helping animals and people in our community.
That food also goes not only for the pets in your shelter, but you also help people out that might be going through some financial difficulty and need pet food as well. Is that true?
We do. We have a program called Kibble Connection, which is where that 22 tons of food goes through. We help clients through Meals on Wheels that are homebound senior citizens that we know if we weren't able to provide that pet food, they may have to actually share their human meal with that pet. We also partner with another of other local nonprofit organizations that are out in the community assisting owners and helping to make sure that those pets can stay in the homes. And sometimes you're right. Yeah, people are having a little bit of trouble, whether it is, you know, paying their electric bill or feeding their pet. And we want to make sure that we can take that stress off of them and mm-hmm. make sure that we can keep that pet in the home.
Those are difficult choices. And we know pets are great for older Americans as well. So, you know, you want to make sure they can try to keep the pet in their home as long as they can. And sometimes everybody needs a little help every now and again.
Very true.
Let's see what else we got. You have behavior training as well. There's other important things that you do that needs that funding, because everything you do requires, you know, from turning the lights on to feeding the animals to, you know, whatever you might need.
We have a great behavior department, and our behavior department not only works with animals in the shelter, they also work with owned animals. One of my favorite classes is called Reactive Rover, and that really targets what I kind of call the midnight walkers, all the people that are like, I can't take my dog out for a walk until after everybody else has gone to bed, because that dog may be reactive to other dogs, and it can possibly be embarrassing to people. Reactive Rover helps them with that, helps desensitize the dog to other dogs so they can start walking in the daylight versus at that midnight time. So they help people outside of the shelter. They also help animals inside of the shelter. And then also a portion of our behavior department also works with young people. Our humane education program is really our newest program, but also my favorite program because it also falls under me.
Yes.
We've worked with close to 11,000 students, whether it be through our in-school program where we actually take dogs into local Baltimore City schools and we do a reading program with them. We also have an 8-lesson curriculum that we can provide to any teacher that's interested in teaching humane education, and we fully fund a field trip to come to the shelter. We have a reading hour every Tuesday night, and we also have internships where our trainers work with the students to provide them with skills to learn animal body language, to learn how to train dogs in the right way, and we're hoping that we can help create the next generation of animal welfare advocates and animal welfare workers, because that is really a viable career. As Tina and I can tell you, for being with the shelter for so long.
Yes.
But we need to find people to take our jobs when we're ready to retire in 50 years.
But exactly. In 150 more years, you might be thinking about slowing down a little bit, right? And how has the response been? It sounds like it's been great for kids, and from the educators to the children to the parents. I mean, that's such valuable knowledge.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. And I think one of the biggest differences that I've personally seen working with children is watching them really create that compassion, not only towards the animals that we bring in that they may have been fearful of before, but we're also watching them show compassion to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, we have a little bit of an issue with that in our world right now.
Yeah.
And if we can be the catalyst to start to teach them how to be compassionate to animals, but also to each other, we're creating an amazing community.
There are unfortunately too many stories of animal cruelty that we see, especially in Baltimore, and how we can change that thought and that narrative, and then maybe we'll have less of those stories that we're reporting about, right? Because that's
very true. That's my goal. I always say I want to save all the animals and save all the people, and then T and I won't have to work.
Exactly. Right. They always say the ultimate goal is putting yourselves out of business.
Very true.
But knowing from all that we're talking about just today alone, I know that that's not happening right this second, and that all those great programs fall under your umbrella, being Director of Community Affairs. So that's talking about like a living job description every day, which is like, and do you come up with like, do you listen to the public too about, do they approach you about things that you might want to do in the future? Are there any things you're thinking about getting off the ground?
Absolutely. You know, I think every day I always say my favorite part of my job is the possibility of the day.
Mm-hmm.
What will come up? What are new and interesting things that we can do? But unfortunately, we can't do new things without funding, which goes back to why this event is so important for us. The more money that we can raise, the more new programs that we can do. You know, my dream would be to be able to have a camp, would be able to bring children in the summer and provide them with some of those activities that maybe they weren't able to have before.
What a great idea.
You know, that's in the future, and we're hoping that we'll be able to do that someday.
Yep.
There's lots of things that I think we would love to be able to do. But again, it goes back to funding. So please come to the Festival for the Animals.
That's right. The buck stops here. Like, we don't go any further unless we raise enough money. And you want to help, let's see, more and more pets and families do need our help every year. So the goal is to be able to help 20,000 pets and 25,000 people a year by the end of 2020. I don't think that sounds like a pretty reasonable goal, doesn't it?
Yes, for sure. It does.
So how about then, speaking of fundraising, which leads us into our another topic, the Maryland SPCA's fundraising goal for the Festival for the Animals this year. What is that and how does that break down?
Our goal is $350,000 this year, which is, you know, a lot of money, but we know with the community support, we can do that. We've been around for 150 years because we have evolved and made sure that we know what our community really needs, and also to make sure that, again, we are financially responsible with the money that is raised for us. And with support from the community for the Festival of the Animals, we know we can make a difference, and that money will make a difference to animals in our community.
And so just by supporting events like Festival for the Animals with the Maryland SPCA, then people are going to know that their money is really making a difference, right?
Absolutely.
That's so important. And now back to Tina. She's been patiently waiting over there. Tina, each year, this is so great. I can't wait to talk about Priya. Every year, you select a Maryland SPCA alum as the Festival for the Animals chair dog, who leads the walkathon once the starting line ribbon is cut. It's become quite a tradition. How did you select her? It's a girl, right?
Priya is a girl, yes.
And how do you choose? You have so many great stories that come in through the walls of the Maryland SPCA every day. How do you even choose?
We do. I mean, just, you know, all of the pets are so special, and many pets have gone through quite a bit when they come into us and with medical issues, and you know, we don't give up on them. So we work with them. So it's always a tough choice, but this year we selected Priya. Priya was in our care for about 6 months. So she came in last fall, and she was surrendered by her family, who could no longer keep her. And we realized right off the bat that she was actually in a lot of pain. Her legs, you know, weren't working properly. If she was in a laying down position to stand up, she was really in a lot of pain. So what we did is we were able to send her to a specialist to find out what was going on with her legs. And it was determined that she had two torn ACLs. So for any folks that have had issues with ACL tendons, you know how painful that could be.
It is a huge sports injury for humans too.
It is. And she was young. She was only a year old. So she, you know, her future should be bright and she should be around for a long time.
Good.
But her quality of life was really suffering. So she was able to have her surgery, and she did spend months recuperating. She had her first surgery, recuperated for several months in foster care, went to physical therapy. Once her one leg was healed, she was able to have her second surgery. So, you know, it's just, she's just a remarkable story of kind of what happens at the Maryland SPCA. So she was adopted, and her mom is really looking forward to having Priya start with us at the starting line. She's not going to walk the whole 1.3 miles, but she's going to get us started.
Oh, cool. That's a huge honor, and that's a perfect choice, I think. And also, not only do you have a chair dog, but what's this I hear about a chair cat? Is that something new?
Yes, it is. So really the idea is, you know, we have a chair dog. Maybe we should have a windowsill cat, because cats, you know, most likely aren't coming to come to the festival. But we have this one girl, her name is Sphinx, and she was Pecan Sandy when she was in her care. She came in really rough shape. She came in at only 2 weeks old, and she had a broken tail, her eye, she had a ruptured eye, and her skin was in such poor condition that it was like leather. And for her to move, and her skin would crack, and she really required a lot of help. But again, you know, we don't want to give up on this sweet little girl.
Mm-mm.
So she spent, you know, months in foster care, having medication to clear up her skin. And our medical staff, the vets, did have to remove her eye. But she's, you know, doing wonderful. And after a long time of healing, she was able to get adopted. And what's really exciting is the adopter also, prior for her recovery, had adopted her sister. So Sphinx is now living in a home with her sister. They're two little orange cats, and they're doing remarkable and are adorable. So again, you know, she's not going to be able to come, but she's certainly going to be cheering walkers from her windowsill.
And that's important, because you guys do so that is all free, right? All those surgeries that, you know, that Priya and Sphinx needed, that all comes with, you know, your medical professionals, your vets at the Maryland SPCA, and that, you know, is all provided free of charge, right?
Well, and in particular for Priya, she did need to go to a specialist, and we do get quite a few dogs and cats that come in with leg issues, orthopedic issues, that our medical staff, they're amazing, but they don't specialize in that. So even with, you know, really good discount from our partner, the specialist, you know, it is more expensive than providing care in-house, but again, it is a specialty, and we want to make sure it gets done right.
Right. You care that much about each and every one of these cats and dogs. And so that's all covered too, even if you have to go to that specialist level, and you have to incur those costs, which you cover at the Maryland SPCA, thanks to the generosity of others, right?
Absolutely. So that's what the proceeds from the festival are going to allow us to continue to help dogs and cats and give them the emergency and long-term care that they require.
That's a huge part of what you do. That's amazing.
It is.
And it's really cool to see the animals out there that day, the chair dog and cat this year. That's another thing to look for when you go to Festival for the Animals, right?
And we're also, Darwin the giant tortoise is joining us once again.
No way!
That's always one of the first questions we get, is Darwin coming?
Oh, that's so cute.
His mom's going to be bringing him, and he'll be walking around. Again, he doesn't walk the full course, but he'll be there at the starting line.
That's so great.
All the people love him. The dogs are always curious to see him. So we're always excited to have Darwin attend.
That's so cool. So Darwin fans, he'll definitely, it's a boy, right? Darwin's a boy.
Yes,
and can you see those anywhere?
We have photos and stories on our Facebook page, so it's always a good place to go to see what's happening. And we get a lot of updates, and we call them happy tales from adopters, and they send us lots of pictures. So we do have information that's always posted on our Facebook page.
Cool. Awesome. You guys do that. You also are very active on Instagram.
That's right.
And even on Twitter too.
We are.
It's very important. So all the, you know, and the website, again, for people in case they don't know it, is that has the direct links to all the social media as well, right?
Right. It does. So they can go to festivalfortheanimals.org, and that's how folks can register for our walkathon. And it also will have all of the links to our social media.
And this is always such a fun event and an important one for the Maryland SPCA and the pets and the people you serve, which is that point that we want to keep making for sure. Tina, what do people need to do if they want to attend? So that's kind of part of our first question about going online and stuff. That's the first step, right?
Right. Well, we are asking walkers 17 years and older to go to our festivalfortheanimals.org website and register. Registration is $40 a person, and we will be giving out festival t-shirts for those that register, and it provides access to all of the other fun events that are going to take place.
So $40, that's super affordable.
It is. And we encourage folks, if they can, again, the more money raised, the more pets we can help. If they could encourage their friends, and by doing some fundraising, reaching out to their folks on the festivalfortheanimals.org website, there are places that we give resources and tips on how to to reach out to your friends. There's a direct link that you can now go onto Facebook, and it, when you register, it keeps tally of how you're doing with your fundraising efforts. And this time, now when it's on Facebook, it used to be a little tricky sometimes to, but now it's linked to our fundraising page or linked to Facebook. So if you do fundraise and someone gives you $10, one of your friends donates $10, that will show up on your fundraising page.
And sometimes people need a visual. It looks like if someone's getting really close to their goal, it's like, oh, come on, what's another couple of dollars to help them meet that goal and right. see where they need to get. And that's, I think they've recently, Facebook has kind of enhanced their, fundraising kind of, I don't know, whatever their techniques are. It seems to be a lot more user-friendly these
days. Right, it really is. And we also on the, we call it a toolkit that we have. And they can go to their our website once they register and they become a participant. And we give them those resources. We give them templates for sending out emails if they need a little help. But again, if folks can register and then also do some fundraising with their friends or their coworkers, it's really greatly appreciated.
That's a great thing to do at work. And I know our company in particular is very into like giving back and things like that. I'm sure other people that are listening to this show have a company or a school or even if you'll work for yourself. You know, it doesn't matter. You can spread the word. Everyone's all over social media. And let's use that for good and have people raise some money for the Maryland SPCA.
That's right. And we do have some Facebook filters also. So if you register... you can share your the Facebook filter with your friends and tell them to come on down and join you.
Oh, that's cool. Are you going to be, for the day of festival for the animals, are you also going to do like any other filters like Instagram or?
We will be, yes.
Or what's the other one that disappears real quick? Snapchat?
Yes, we we have accounts with all of those. And Raven, our social media specialist, she's going to have fun doing it.
She is fabulous. Oh my gosh, we love her. We love like going down to the Maryland SPCA and just like checking it out and taking videos and having fun. you guys are really a fun, important place to support if anyone is listening, and I hope they are. And if they can't attend Festival for the Animals, like let's just say maybe Saturday, April 6th, they have somebody's, I don't know, graduation party or something, but they love animals and they still want to be involved. Is there a way that they can do that if they can't attend the specific event?
It certainly is. They can go to festivalfortheanimals.org and there is a tab that says, I can't attend, but I'd like to help. And if you click on that tab, you can make a donation of any amount. And again, it will help the cats and dogs in our shelter. And it also allows us to provide the other resources and programs that not only benefit pets, but also people.
That's so important. And you guys have literally thought of everything.
We try.
Except, you know what? Another important thing to Katie, we'll bring you back in here too, that we just can't wait for this event. We are super excited. We want to share that enthusiasm with everybody. So, Katie, I think you have been elected as the person who can tell us once more when and where is the Festival for the Animals? How can people find it? Because being a new location this year, I don't think we can say that enough, that it's a new old location, I should say.
I always say we're going home.
We're going home.
We're going home. And it will be on April 6th, Saturday, April 6th. From 10 to 2 p.m. at Druid Hill Park. Festival for the Animals. You can also go to the website, festivalforanimals.org, and it's really going to be an amazingly fun day, not only for your pets, bring your pets, but it's also a great day for adults, for kids, for everybody in the family. It's the start of spring. Come on out, support our community, support the animals, and have a good time.
And are there any special guests that we can reveal? Like sometimes the mayor pops by, sometimes some other dignitaries.
Well, right now, I think we're going to keep our special ones under wraps because, you know, come and see. Come and find out. But I can tell you, there's going to be a lot of fun things to do that day.
It's going to be so much fun. And it's so cool that you're back at Druid Hill Park. Did you find that people always thought it was there the whole time? Or like, are they excited? Have you heard that they're excited that you're back?
I think people are excited that we're back. And again, with our homecoming, with our 150th anniversary, we really wanted to spotlight what we've done over the history.
Yes.
And for quite a few years, we've been at Druid Hill Park. It's part of our community. We mm-hmm. love the park. And there's a lot of green space. What better place to go for your animals than Druid Hill Park?
Yep. And the kids to run around and animal lovers of all ages. And Tina, any final thoughts as we're wrapping up the show here for anything else people need to know about getting involved or anything else about, you know, where the money goes or what's on your wish list as you're getting, you know, prepped for the event? Is there one particular thing that you find or more that you're like, oh, we just need this, that, and the other thing? Is there that one? What do you need help with the most? Besides fundraising,
need,
I'm guessing.
I was going to say we need help with fundraising and spreading the word.
Yeah.
Right. Just, you know, bring your friends, bring your coworkers, and just make a day of it.
Yeah.
And it's, you see a lot of folks, some people actually even register as teams. So you can go on the website, register as an individual if you just want to come down by yourself or and bring your pet. Or you can also ask your friends and coworkers to join and make a team. Yeah. And it's really fun seeing a lot of the families and the teams, we call them packs, walking around together. And
that's cool.
Some even make special t-shirts. And
love it. So,
yeah. And I believe this year we have prides, too, for our cat lovers. Prides and packs.
That's See, right. I love how you give equal time to dogs and cats because, you know, dog lovers, cat lovers, they you know, they're equally as passionate.
Absolutely.
And we love them both. And it's just $40, and we want you to get online as soon as you can, if you're driving, when you can safely, to festivalfortheanimals.org. And we can't wait to see you Saturday, April 6th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. back at Druid Hill Park. And we can't wait to see not only, well, I'll be there for sure, Gina Crash, but also Katie Flory, who's been talking to us, Director of Community Affairs for the Maryland SPCA, and Tina Register, Director of Communications for the Maryland SPCA. We can't wait to see you.
Thank you for having us.
And the website, one more time for people.
Festivalfortheanimals.org.
Perfect. Well said, you guys. Thank you so much for being here today. You guys, thank you out there for listening. If you need to reach out to me on social media, I'm on all the platforms at Gina Crash. I'll put you back in touch with the Maryland SPCA. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore. We'll see you next time.